What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Our goal around here is to bring you great people that help you think better about your practice and your life. And we talk about leadership a lot on this podcast. And we thought, let's bring in some experts on leadership. Well, I have one today, and I've gotten to know him really well in the last couple of months. His name is Jeff Jansen, and he works with some of the top college athletes, coaches, and programs anywhere. And you know what he teaches them? Leadership. And I said, Jeff, you got to come on our podcast. And he said, absolutely, let's do it. So here he is. Meet my friend, Jeff. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. My job is to find the coolest people in the world and give you a little information and learn a little bit of insight so that you guys can create a better practice and a better life. And there's no mistaking that leadership is a big deal. And so I've got a friend of mine, a good friend who's become more of a friend and is actually working with my family. I'll explain here in a minute, who's an expert on leadership. And I thought, you know what? Let's get him on the podcast and I'll reveal what that means, or he'll reveal what that means in a few minutes. So Jeff, thanks for being on, buddy. I would love for you to share with our listeners who you are and what you do. Jeff, why are you an expert on leadership? Tell us.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Hopefully I can back that up. But yeah, my name is Jeff Jansen. I am in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area, and I run the Jansen Sports Leadership Center. So in essence, what we do is we work with a college and high school athletic departments, occasionally the pros as well, too. And we really work with their coaches, their captains, their athletic directors, and trying to help them understand how important leadership is to their success in the locker room, on the field, off the field, sports, you name it. And yeah, we get the opportunity to learn from and hopefully develop these coaches and captains into becoming better leaders. So I've been doing that now. I started with a sports psychology background at the University of Arizona way back when, got my graduate degree there at Arizona, and just started volunteering with coaches like Lute Olson, their basketball coach, and learning from them. And fortunately, some of their teams went to the Final Four. So they said, you know, let's have you work with more teams. So I spent several years with Arizona. And at that time, I was one of kind of five full-time people doing this in college athletics. So there would be a lot of other colleges who would say, hey, we don't have anybody here. Can you come do a weekend workshop? And the outside business kind of grew bigger than what the Arizona business was. So North Carolina, as you know well, is one of the first schools now 21 years ago to start a comprehensive leadership academy for their coaches and for their captains. So in essence, I've been doing that, and Stanford got word of that, Michigan got word of that, Notre Dame got word of that. So I just had the opportunity then to learn from a lot of amazing coaches and athletes and hopefully try to teach them something along the way as well.
Yeah. So, and we were introduced because, you know, some of you may or may not know, I have a daughter and she's amazing. Her name is Zoe, and she is currently attending the University of North Carolina in part of the volleyball program there. And she just completed her sophomore year, and she introduced me to you. So, and I want you, we're going to get into the Leadership Academy, but like, what are you doing with them or any other program? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we have a multi-tiered leadership program. So we have, for at least for the parts that I run, we have an emerging leaders program that is designed for younger kids, sophomores, who coaches think have strong leadership potential. And we get to spend a year with them, 10 different modules, teaching them how to effectively lead themselves with their commitment, their confidence, their composure, their character, which is hard enough for us adults to do, let alone the students to be able to do. And then we teach them more vocal leadership skills in terms of building a sense of team, handling conflict, refocusing people when they're kind of off. So that's one level that we have. And then we also have a veteran leaders level where we're working with the actual captains of the team, having them evaluate their chemistry and their culture and what's going well and what can we do to improve things. And we bring the coaches in with that too. We're doing professional development with them, and we're also incorporating them along with the student athletes as well too. So it's a comprehensive program, multi-tiered, that I'm doing workshops with all the different sports teams at North Carolina. But as you said, with Zoe and other student athletes, they can meet one-on-one with me as well and really customize this stuff. And I'm sure we'll get into this, but one of the things we do is a 360 evaluation. So the leaders can see not just how they think they're doing, but what their teammates are saying. These are your strengths. These are your areas to improve, as well as the coaching staff doing the same thing.
Yeah, I want to come back to the 360 because Zoe told me about that. And I'm like, it's not going to be like a wonderful, like feel good exercise. You're going to get some comments that you're not going to like. And we'll revisit. I want to come back to this, though. I always love starting with the why. You know, we talk about it. Everybody expresses the importance of leadership. But in today's day and age in sports, how important is leadership and how big of a problem is it, you know, getting around some of these challenges? Give us kind of the state of the union of where we're at on the map with this.
Yeah, I mean, way back when we first started this, we saw how important leaders were. You obviously know, but maybe if some of you are dentists have heard of Anson Dorrance, whose UNC women's soccer program has won 22 national championships. Anson retired, had his hand-selected successor, more or less, come in and win their 23rd. So he always talked about how important leadership was, not only for on-the-field stuff, but what's happening in the locker room and everywhere else. And if you're an administrator, you also not only want to be on ESPN holding up championships, you don't want to be on ESPN because there was a hazing issue or because there was something that gives your program a black eye. So a lot of administrators are like, we kind of need good leadership for other reasons too. And that's what we just looked at, is that there was nothing being done to train them. It was like, I call it the magic eight ball theory of leadership development. Are we going to have good leaders shake the magic eight ball, look, and whatever randomly comes up is kind of what you have that year. So we focused on that, and we've been doing that now for 20 years. And college athletics is definitely changing along the way. So the leadership is becoming that much more important for the culture and everything else.
Yeah, I'm going to go right there. I have to believe that what you're doing right now is a steeper climb than it's ever been with NIL and all of the... True or false?
It definitely is. I mean, what a lot of people have said is, unfortunately, a lot of the professional aspects of pro sport are now infiltrating into college, and it's becoming, especially at certain levels with certain sports, more transactional. What can you do for me, rather than the loyalty aspect of it? And yeah, there can be some jealousy too, because some of the athletes on the team are getting NIL, are getting, you know, more opportunities, and others may not be. So it is becoming more of a challenge to have that sense of chemistry and culture when the outside world is pulling apart at that.
Yeah. So take us into the Leadership Academy. If we were going through this and you're taking all of our listeners through it, like take us through the first module. Where do we establish the baseline? Where do you start with a team?
Yeah. The very first thing that we do is evaluation. We have to kind of get a lay of the land and an understanding of what leadership is. I think people have a general understanding of what leadership is. But one of the first things we do is kind of talk about, okay, there's leaders by example. And what does that mean? And leading by example is a lot of, okay, I'm one of the hardest workers on the team. I maintain my poise and composure when the stuff is hitting the fan. I have a sense of confidence in myself to step up and lead. And I'm making really good character decisions away from my sport as well. And that's kind of that first platform that we look at is, are you one of the top three hardest workers on your team? And do you manage all of those things? So one of the things they do is evaluate themselves as a leader by example. And that's what we say, all leadership starts with self-leadership. If you can't lead yourself, guess what? You're not going to have the credibility, trust, respect from your teammates or coaches. So we've got to start here. And then once we get that in order, then we've got a platform of respect and leadership that now we can, when we see good commitment, confidence, composure, and character from our teammates, we call that out. I mean, that's as simple as that is, hey, great workout today, or way not to lose your composure when you got that bad call from the official, way to move on to the next play. Great job there. So you're also, you know, helping, you're calling people when they do the right thing, but when they do the wrong thing, you're also saying, you know what, we need more from you right now. That kind of effort or that kind of response to that situation is not going to help you and it's not going to help us. So then we work on holding people accountable to what the standards of the program might be.
Yeah. So I'll play devil's advocate and be your most challenging. I would imagine when you ask somebody to self-evaluate, not a lot of people go, yeah, I'm pretty lousy at this. Most of them, if they're an athlete, especially at the collegiate level, would say, I'm a very hard worker. I'm a leader around here. And others may not see them that way. I mean, I'm thinking about football. I'm thinking about, you know, baseball. Like some of the baseball players I've met, not in North Carolina, but other places, are some of the most confident and overly confident human beings I've ever met in my entire life. I'm like, wow, you really like yourself, don't you? And so I'm speaking to, like, we always talk about, like, the first step in any change process is understanding the truth or telling the truth. And I would imagine that's a big task, like getting a real accurate read on that to start.
Yeah, exactly. So we do a couple things there. When we first do this is we not only have them evaluate themselves, but then we have them identify, okay, in your self-perception, which could be skewed to some degree, what do you feel like are your two strengths and what do you feel like are your two areas to improve? And then we have the coaches evaluate those same people and we have them within 20, they usually text right from the workshop itself, coach, these are what I think my strengths are. These are what I think my areas to improve are. And we really encourage them within the next 24 to 48 hours, ask your coach what he or she thinks are your strengths. And ask your coach what they think are also your areas to improve. And sometimes those two match up and other times they're pretty different, but it gets that discussion going and that analysis going and it gives a third party perspective to it. And then as we talk about, as we move along, not only do we get the one coach's perspective, we get the entire team's perspective. We get the head coach's perspective, the assistant coaches, the athletic trainers. The strength coaches are usually in that. So you're getting a pretty comprehensive view. And there's some kids that, yeah, they're in the same ballpark. And there's some other ones that there's a significant difference in that. Sometimes it's I do have my teammates' respect and trust, and I can be more vocal. And other times it's like, oh, okay, there are some areas I need to work on. So we kind of graduate that over time. We start with one coach to give that perspective. And then obviously over time, we add everybody who's impacted by that leader.
Yeah. And speak to this too. I would imagine a lot of college programs don't have the ability or time to do this. This almost becomes like their qualitative and quantitative, you know, measuring system that they can put into. They have enough dealing with recruiting, developing athletes, but really getting their arms around leadership. You got to put data to this and a systematic approach, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these factors, as we know, are kind of nebulous. They're important intangibles, but they're hard to always measure. We can measure a heart rate. We can measure, you know, somebody's vertical leap, all those different things, the physical aspects. But what this evaluation does is it takes this important intangible of leadership, puts it into some behaviors that we can really monitor and manage and rate, and then we can numerically give. And what we do, not only for the kids, but, you know, I'm an outside consultant, so I have to come in and prove my ROI for the money that they're investing in what we're doing. I have to show that there's been improvement over time. And that's one of the things that we do We do certainly the early on test, but then we also do a retrospective pre-post test, and we ask kids, okay, now that you really understand what it takes to be committed at the highest level, where do you think you were when you started this program? Where are you now? So they're smarter about what it takes to be a leader. As you said, you've got some athletes who think they're God's gift to their sport. And when they actually learn, okay, there is a higher level that Michael Jordan actually brought it at. Oh, okay. Now I have to raise myself to that higher level then as too.
Yeah. All right. I love this. I have so many questions for you already. Talk about that. Think about that. I would love for you to comment on this because you're on the ground with these teams. Like, really talk about the impact of leadership on winning, on creating a brand and the culture of a program. When you can get some of these data points to be better, maybe week over week, quarter over quarter, speak to its impact on winning, the culture and the brand that you're creating.
Yeah, I mean, to me, leadership is one of those plus or minus two factors is what I usually say. So let's say that you've got a baseball team on paper. They've got a talent level of about 7. If you just physically where they are, they're about a 7. Now, if you've got good leadership for that team, you can probably take that level of 7, making sure that they're working hard in the weight room, staying focused on what they need to do, building their confidence when they're struggling, helping them reframe situations when they're not. That level of 7 physical talent can probably be bumped to an 8. And if you've got great leadership, that can be bumped to a 9. So now they can start taking on teams that are on paper better than them that might have a talent level of 9, but they're now able to compete with them because they're bringing their entire 7 and the intangibles and more. And then conversely, we'll go to that team of 9 that might have 9 talent on paper, but they don't understand their roles. They're all about themselves. The culture's really poor. They hate their coaches. They're just looking out for themselves. And they should be playing at a 9 talent level because that's what they have on paper. But they're actually playing at an 8 or a 7. So now this 7 team, because they have great leadership, they're playing at a higher level. This 9 level physical talent team is playing at a 7. That's in essence to me how, when you look at NCAA tournament stuff and all those different things, how different teams can beat those other teams on paper because they've got the intangibles working for them.
Yeah. And I have so many questions. So this came up in a baseball game that we were watching last night with my son is like, we had like 5 dads. So like, how important is momentum in sports when it comes to leadership? You know, because you have these ups and downs and you think about this in a business, like momentum is crazy important. As an opposing coach, I got to know how to use a timeout. Momentum is a force multiplied with leadership that is really hard to stop. Tell me I would love to know your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we're always, one of the things that we talk about with our leaders is how important it is to obviously be positive and to understand if things are going well, we're going to want to keep that rolling. We're going to want to encourage the people who are doing those things. We're going to outwardly show those positive emotions, not in a way that's going to fire up the other team, but we're going to be excited about that. And obviously volleyball's one when they got a great point going on, then they really get excited about that. But the other thing that we talk about too with the leaders is you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get mad. You're going to get down, but you can't show that not only to your opponents because they know they've gotten into your head, but your own teammates are now starting to worry about you. Oh, she's starting to get really frustrated. She's going internal in what she's doing and all of that. So that momentum part, I think, is really important. And they actually, a long time ago, did a study of ACC basketball games and looked at different momentum with things. And what they found out a lot of times with momentum is with home court and visiting court, it wasn't always the home court advantage. It was more the away court disadvantage because the home team's crowd would often have the other team playing at a lower level. It wasn't necessarily that your home team played that much better. It was they got in the heads of the opponents and their level decreased so that they then didn't win as many games as they probably would have had it been a neutral court or had it been there at their home venue.
That makes so much sense. I can totally see that. So go back to the 360 thing. Now, for our listeners that don't know what a 360 is, can you explain that? And it's not just unique to sports. There are 360s for business leaders. What is a 360? What does it do?
Yeah, a 360, you know, the great thing is the name is in it. So what it essentially means is instead of me just taking my little viewpoint of how I'm doing as a leader, what it does is it takes everyone's viewpoint around you into effect. So with a sports team, what we end up doing is we have the leader evaluate him or herself on 24 different questions. First 12 look at their ability to lead themselves. I mentioned the commitment, the confidence, the composure, the character. All of those things are assessed. And then the second 12 really look at for the team aspect. Are you building a sense of team? Are you holding people accountable? Are you refocusing? Are you a servant leader? Can people tell it's about our team versus more about you? So they'll evaluate themselves, but then anonymously, their teammates get the opportunity to use those same 24 questions and give the leader a rating on a, we use a 1 to 5 scale in terms of that, like, or strongly disagree, 1 up to 5, strongly agree. So they'll now rate them on each of those. And what we do to preserve the confidentiality and anonymity is we average all the team scores and we report that back for each of those 24 questions. And the coaching staff, because sometimes, as you know, the coaching staff may have a little different view of what of that leader than maybe the athlete does or the teammates do. So then we will also average all the coach responses. So they'll get a report back, the leaders will. They'll see where their self-score is. They'll see where all their teammate averages are. They'll see where all their coach averages are. We'll show them, sort them high down to low. These are the areas that your team and coaches think you're really doing great. These are the areas that you might need to improve. And then we'll also show them the difference between how they scored themselves and how the team or coaches did. So they can now see, do I have any blind spots? Did I feel like I was doing well in that area? I gave myself a 4.7. My team came in at a 3.9. So we have the numerical part, but then we also have the what would you like to see this leader start doing, stop doing, and continue doing. So now we have open-ended things. Again, things are anonymous here, so that people can say, I love it when you do this. However, when you do this, this is the impact it's having on us and the team. So they get this whole comprehensive report, and then we go into a leadership development plan based on all of that too. But that's kind of the overview, and obviously there's a whole lot more to it, but that it gives you a great opportunity, because when you lead, you're thinking, this is what I intend, and I want to help this, and we're doing, but they can't read your mind. People right. can't read what's going on there. They just hear the tone of your voice. They see your posture, and then they interpret, well, what do I think they meant? And now you're getting the chance to see this connected with my team and coaches, and this, it didn't quite work so well, but maybe if I try it this way, it'll work better.
Yeah. And I'm sure you could speak to this. Now, we don't do a 360, but we do this with our clients that are dentists, is give them feedback that's direct from their team. And it hurts sometimes. I get feedback quarterly through a series of surveys, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it hits me right in the heart. And so I would imagine, like, as a leader, it's important to get that unfiltered feedback. And then you have you already mentioned it's the follow through system on to do something about it. Like, when I get a low score on something, my first thought is like, okay, I got to move that score up. And that's probably what you see a lot, correct?
It is. And it's a couple things there. So we psychologically prepare before the people get their reports back. We kind of let them know, hey, these are the averages. These are the areas where people score highly. These are the areas where people score pretty low. So we've done this now with over 10,000 athletes. So we definitely know where the areas that people usually do well and where the areas that people struggle in. So we do that too. And the other thing, as I said, we don't do that day one. That's more of a high level thing. That's more of our veteran leaders program. The coaches have already identified, yes, these are our leaders. And we usually tell them, it's out of 120. We usually tell them, if you can't score a kid at least a 90, they probably shouldn't even be in the veteran leaders, because what you're saying is you don't respect them enough to be a leader. So we shouldn't do this whole 360 thing if they're just going to get slammed by this. don't have them as a veteran leader if you don't respect them. So those are some of those safeguards that we put into place that this everybody on the team isn't getting this. And it's more people who are leading at a pretty high level. And now we're just helping them get a little bit better versus just any Joe athlete on the team. And here's your 360. And yeah, they're going to get hit pretty hard if we just started it that way.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is incredible and the stuff that matters and your program. Maybe you could share like a thought. Like this is all, I think everybody that's listening to this would agree, but like share with us one of your favorite or maybe two of your favorite transformation stories. Now, you don't have to use anyone's name or maybe you can, but like give us an example of when you do this work, what happens?
Yeah, I mean, my all-time favorite one, and I tell this story all the time to each of our leadership academies, but when I first started at Arizona, there was a walk-on freshman who came into Lute Olson's team. They had been pretty good, but Coach Olson had kind of looked at a season. They had a younger team. They didn't think that they were probably going to make it to the championship this year, but this walk-on freshman comes in. He's challenging his teammates. He's telling them, we got to work harder. He finds a fellow freshman who can't shoot the ball that well from three. He's getting him in at night, 9:30 at night. They're shooting and all that. And my office was right where these guys had study tables. And I remember the first few weeks, they're laughing at this guy, Josh, yeah, this freshman, he's crazy. He thinks we could win a national championship this year. And all that. Well, as time goes on, they see this guy putting in all this work. And he's going up to the coach's office saying, Coach, can I watch video? We got Texas this weekend. Coach Olson's kind of like, well, Josh, you're kind of the 12th guy. The only way you're getting in is if we're up 20 or down 20 and there's 20 seconds on the clock. And Josh is like, yeah, Coach, I know I'm not getting in, but I'm watching film. I'm hanging out with the starters. I can help them where they need to be. So first couple of weeks, he's kind of the laughing stock of the team. But as the season gets going on, they're starting to go to him now. Josh, we got Cal, we got Stanford this weekend. What do we need to do to win this game? And this kid, who was the lowest one, rises to this position of respect and leadership on the team. Well, Arizona did have a young team that year. They ended up, I think, fourth or fifth in their conference, got a 4 seed going in the NCAA tournament. They had to get through 3 number 1 seeds. Nobody on the men's side has ever gotten through 3 number 1 seeds. Kansas was one. North Carolina was one. And Kentucky was the championship. Miles Simon was a guy who scored 30 points in the championship game. He gets all the accolades and all that. But they go back in the locker room after the game. They tell Josh, you know what? If you wouldn't have led us this year, there's no way we would have won this national championship. So this guy, who's like the 12th guy on the bench, didn't play a lick at all in the NCAA tournament. They're basically giving him the MVP because he took a team that had standards here and raised them up here. And they end up with a national championship that the coach didn't even think was probably possible going into that season. The coach had actually planned a vacation during the Final Four weekend thinking we're probably not even going to make it that far. And they win the whole thing.
I love it. Speaks to the whole fact you don't need a title or be to the top guy to be the leader, right? Like everybody can lead in some fashion.
Exactly. And that's why I start with that one. Is I let kids know you don't have to be a senior. You don't have to be a scholarship player. You don't have to have all the NIL in the world. If you care so much about this program, you're willing to hold yourself and your teammates accountable. Who's to say where you might be able to lead this team this year?
I love it. I'm going to have you back again and again and again. What do most people or most athletes or most leaders get wrong about leadership? Like you talk to leaders all the time. What are some of the things come like you got leadership wrong, buddy? Like anything come to mind?
I mean, the two things that I love when I'm working with leaders and I try to boil it down to this is your ability to relate to people and your ability to require things of them. And I think what I've learned is that there are certain leaders, they're better at the relation stuff. They're really good at checking in with people, connecting with people, making them feel cared for, but they may not hold them accountable to the standard as well. So that's kind of their developmental areas. You know what? You got to require some more stuff. And then the exact opposite, you've got the requires. We got to work harder. You got to do this. And then people sometimes don't, well, do you care about me as a person? Do you care about me as an individual? And, you know, that can be a battle with some of the hard-nosed coaches, the old Bob Knight kind of people from years back. And that's what we've learned is that good coaches can do both of those and they know when to relate, when to require, and they understand each person. This person needs a little more requiring or responds better to that, or this person needs a little more relating. They respond better to that. And that's, I think, part of it is I have to be able to flex my style given what's happening in the season, given who it is that I'm leading at that time.
Yeah, that is so funny you say that. And I was laughing because you were clinically diagnosing me. I have been clinically diagnosed as a wuss. So the relation part is really hard. But that is a lifelong journey holding people accountable. Like, that's hard because you don't want to hurt their feelings. I hate conflict. I want everybody to be happy. Like, help me. What would you say to me if I was one of your students? Yeah. Or like, well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, stuff that we've been going through, this should be familiar. We've got a whole manual that basically we show people a stair-step approach of how to hold people accountable. And most people, they don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I don't like holding people accountable. And they think, well, it's all about coming down and yelling at them or all that. It's like, no, if you put in these other six steps of being crystal clear about what your expectations are, that you're living them yourself, that you've got a good monitoring process. I know that's what you guys do so well, is that you track things and monitor things so that we can see, yeah, we're hitting the standard. Oh, no, we're below the standard or we're above it. You praise the people who are at or above the standard. And then it's a matter of reminding people, hey, this is our standard. You're here. We need you here. We know you can do that. We're going to call you up versus call you out. That's probably one of the best phrases that we really work with our athletes on, is a lot of them don't want to call out their roommate, their teammate, yeah, their whatever. We're not calling them out. We're calling them up to the standard that everybody collectively set and embraced at the beginning of the year. So you're kind of reminding them of what it's going to take to be successful.
I am totally stealing that phrase from you. I'll give you credit. Like, that is amazing. I love that. I absolutely love that. That is awesome. I have all of your books on my nightstand. I want you to talk about that in just a second, and also where people can find out more. But I'm going to give you the question I get all the time. So I'm in Milwaukee, and I'm not kidding. Like, almost every other day, people will ask me, because they know I have a child at North Carolina. Like, what's going on? Like, has Belichick brought you in? And now, you can say whatever you want. Maybe not. Like, did they bring you into the football program over there?
So Mike Lombardi has been someone with Coach Belichick for a long time.
Yeah. He
really focuses in on the leadership and culture aspects. So my guess is he's doing a lot of this early transition. They do have a great guy, Kevin Donnelly, who is kind of their football leadership guy. He's had tons of guys involved in the past. And I think we're evaluating now to see, okay, what's going to work best for Coach Belichick right now. So yeah, it is more of a TBD, to be determined at this point right now. But yeah, I know Coach Belichick has Coach Lombardi there, or Mike Lombardi. I have to be careful with Coach Lombardi, yeah, in the Wisconsin world, since I grew up there, because obviously people will think of Vince in that regard.
For sure. I am so excited. Like, I couldn't be more excited. Now, leaving out all the personal stuff and all that kind of, nonetheless, he's an amazing coach. He's changed the program already. And I think he's coming into the time. This is a weird time in sports. You know, I think it's ungoverned. Maybe I can ask you, like, it's ungoverned. It's kind of like the Wild West. There's really no rules. And he could be a guy who comes in and, for lack of a better word, exploits the rules, which there are none, or uses the system. I think ultimately, can I ask you this? There's going to have to be rules. There's going to have to be rules and sanctions. Don't you agree? Like, at some point?
It definitely, I agree with you 100% that it is the wild, wild west right now, that the NCAA's teeth just are not really there much anymore, that it's more drifting to the college football playoff committee and all that. They're going to have more of the power. The whole conference stuff is obviously still being figured out of, will there be super conferences and who's going to be in each of those, and right, and what kind of impact they're going to have. So it is a very unsettling time for the, you know, every sport, whether you're an Olympic sport or whether you're one of the quote revenue generating sports that are there. So yeah, I think what North Carolina did in that situation, as they said, is this moves more and more toward professional sports. Who better than somebody who's won six Super Bowl championships to come in and lead this team if a lot of our athletes are coming in, they're being paid and they're wanting to go to the NFL anyway, let's bring in somebody who's been a proven developer of talent to then do that at that level. So yeah, I think it's, I always tell people when, you know, they ask, okay, what's going to happen in the world? I'm like, things could change in 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, or 2 or 3 years. And what's kind of happened is some of the television contracts have been solidified a little bit. So ACC is a little more stable, but I you know, hold on to your hats. There's a lot more coming and there's a lot more that's already hit.
Totally agree. This has been amazing, Jeff. So a couple things. I want you to tell people about your books and where, because I know there's going to be a lot of people listening. They're going to want to find out. But before we do, give us some final thoughts on the impact of leadership in sports and just culture in general.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I've always loved is, you know, I am a sports fan. I want teams to do well. I love when teams win championships. I've got a couple rings. So those things I take pride in. But what really gets me juiced is when a kid who's been through our leadership academy, Mackenzie Bird's one, who's a volleyball player at North Carolina. She is now a principal at a school in Memphis that is a lot of the kids who've gone there, their parents have never even gone to college. So she's now using a lot of, she's like, Jeff, I'm using the commitment continuum tool that you taught us back in the day. I'm using that with these kids now. So I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about, okay, this stuff is going to be applied in the classroom or in a business setting or in a dental office somewhere down the road. As I said, two of my grads right now, one of them is my dentist, are now practicing dentist in our area. So it's neat for me to see them use these exact same commitment, culture, leadership skills in serving their communities as well.
Yeah. So anyone can go through this. You don't have to be a college athlete. And so if I'm a dentist listening or a team member listening, where do I go, Jeff? How do I start this journey?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a bunch of stuff at JansenSportsLeadership.com. And I've got a lot of blogs there. For me, I've always been fascinated by the business world. So even though I didn't get an MBA, I probably, with all the thousands of books that I've read, much like you, you know, I feel like I kind of have an MBA. So I've gone to Zingerman's Deli. I don't know if you're familiar with them in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
No.
They've got two founders that have just, they've created, spawned off like 9 different businesses, a candy business, a cheese business, a training business, because they're so good with their customers. So I went and spent time with them and did some stuff there. There's a school down in Atlanta that does amazing stuff. So I do a lot of field trips outside of the sport world to learn the best of the best stuff. And what I kind of did with all that is I've got a book here, How to Build and Sustain a Championship Culture. And it's definitely focused on sports, but I put a lot of Zingerman's Deli things that I've learned in there, things that I've learned from different other places that a lot of businesses will use as kind of a book study thing in what they're doing with their managers and their team. So yeah, I'm really fascinated, not just by the sports world, but by any human endeavor where people are trying to be the best of the best.
Awesome. Jeff, I am so incredibly grateful, buddy. Thanks for being on. And I'm going to have you back and we're going to cover some other things on leadership, if that's okay with you. I didn't even ask you. I just told you you're coming back.
No, I'd love to come back, and I didn't plant this at all, but you must have done a good job with your daughter. She's definitely doing a great job. Unanimous selection to be captain of the team.
Wow.
Just a really great leader and is helping upgrade that culture and set standards. So she's doing great. So that apple must have not fallen too far from the tree, I guess.
She got it all from her mom, that's for sure. And I'm just so grateful. She's in a great place. It's a special place. And she's surrounded by some amazing team members, coaches. So it's good stuff, buddy. So thank you so, so much. Well, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. I'm going to encourage you guys to check out Jeff's stuff. If you're listening right now and you're not taking notes, this is how the podcast works. You can flip up to the notes section in Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you consume the podcast. You're going to see we take copious notes. I've got links to everything Jeff mentioned. You can just click on the link. It's going to take you right there and make sure you check it out. I promise you this stuff will change your life and change the lives of the people around you. So leadership matters. So, keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see. We're lining up. We have an amazing lineup here just in the next couple of weeks. And again, we're just so grateful. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.